What is good, y'all? Welcome back to the Calm Podcast. It is your host, Just Chris, back in the building. If you haven't already, go over to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5 stars. And if you're listening on Spotify right now, make sure you follow us on Spotify so that you get notified every single time we upload an episode. But today's episode is going to be super dope. And for all of you working in corporate, it's going to be a way for us to have a little conversation and interact with me. Go on to Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me at the one Chris Jordan. Again, that is at the number one. Chris Jordan. Everything will be linked down below as well in the podcast description, so you can go follow me there. But we're going to be talking about how to survive in corporate. I've been working in corporate for 3 years, and I've learned a lot in that time. Corporate is a very, very interesting place, and it is somewhere where if you don't know how to navigate and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get swallowed up. All right. And I hate to make it sound like that, but it's the truth. In corporate, when you're working for these huge, huge companies, man, we're talking 100,000 employees, 70,000 employees, 150,000 employees, you become a number, right? It's very hard to sort of maintain that individualized sort of just environment. You know, people are not, and I hate to say it like this, but you're gonna have those coworkers that are close to you, that care about you to an extent in terms of they know you more personally. But when you're looking at it, the entire structure of an organization, you are a number, right? There's not really, if I'm a CEO and I'm looking at, you know, all the employees across the company and I'm looking down, you know, a name list, chances are I'm going to know very few of those people, right? CEOs are not going to have too much interaction with the lower with the people working in different departments or people that are, you know, on levels lower than them, right? They're going to be interacting mainly, primarily with senior leadership. And then other than that, they're probably not going to have much interaction with you. Even if you are a manager, you know, even if you are a senior manager, somebody who's been there for a while, chances are you still won't really have that much visibility into, you know, the C-suite execs, and you won't really have much, you know, interaction with the C-suite execs. So, and I say all this to say, part of what you need to do when you're in corporate is know where you want to go, right? Know how high you want to go on the ladder. And I mean, like, if you're aiming for C-suite, aim for C-suite. If you want to be a C-suite exec, cool. If you want to be a mid-level manager, cool. If you want to be an individual contributor and just kind of be somebody, you know, you do your job and you stick with that, cool. But understand where you want to go, because what you're going to have to do is you got to advocate for yourself, man. Moving up in corporate for me has been a very, very, it's been a very calculated process. You got to understand where you want to go and understand what you got to do to get there. And you got to advocate for yourself. You want something, if you want a job, if you want a like a specific position, nobody's going to give it to you. Nobody's just going to say, hey, you know, maybe if you want this position, we'll slide you this position. You know, it's going to be something where you have to say, hey, look, you know, right now I'm a level one secretary, but I want to be a mid-level manager in the next 2 years. And communicating that to your manager, communicating that to people around you, and then also talking to other people who are in the position that you want, so you understand the path or a potential path to get there, is super important as well. You know, I was fortunate enough to be able to talk to some higher level individuals and understand and pick their brain and say, hey, you know, what did you do to get here? What was your goal? What were your aspirations, and what landed you in this role? You know, having that background is super important. And don't be afraid to put time on people's calendars. Ask them questions. You know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Have a mentor, have somebody who can talk to about how to move up, because if you don't, you're never going to be offered those opportunities. I'm going to repeat that again for all the new ones coming into corporate. And I'm not trying to talk like I know everything. Like I said, I had 3 years in the corporate arena across 2 different companies. But I think this holds true across the board. In huge and very large organizations, you're going to have to advocate for yourself and advocate for what you want and where you want to go. All right. So always make sure that you do that. Now, number two thing I'm going to say too, when it comes to work-life balance, depending on what you're doing in corporate, it's going to be very different from job to job, career to career. Obviously, if I'm a corporate lawyer, my work-life balance is probably going to be very low, just because of the expectations of the role. Even if you're capped, quote unquote, at, say, 40 hours per week, but you know you have a role where you're probably going to be on late night calls, you're probably going to have to be on call for things, you have to understand that. You know, understand what you're getting yourself into. Try your best to understand. And I know it's not always super transparent. You don't know what the work-life balance is going to be. when you move into a specific role, but it's a good thing to ask during an interview. Don't be afraid to ask things like that. Like, you know, what is the expectation around work? What are work hours? What some things that I asked when I was on interviews, you know, what are work hours look like? Like, what does your typical day look like? You know, asking my interviewers, how long do you spend at work outside of your allocated time? Outside of your 40 hours, how much additional time should I expect to spend in my role and expect, you know, to spend just working overtime? You know, asking those questions is super important. I think it can be, especially in corporate, if you're working a really good job, you're at a really good company, they throw a great salary in your face. They say, hey, we're going to offer you $150,000. We're going to offer you $100,000. We're going to offer you $200,000. And you're looking at this great salary and you're like, wow. And you're just kind of blind about the salary for this, you know, for the time being. And you just accept the offer because you're like, hey, this is the most money I've ever made in my life. But at the same time, you're not really looking at the expense that is, or what it's going to cost you in terms of your time and your work-life balance. You're probably not going to have as much of it as you want. So you got to make sure that you're aware of that, right? I'm somebody who's very, very adamant about setting boundaries. You know, I work hard when I'm at work. I really, really enjoy being part of my team. I really, really enjoy making sure that my team is running efficiently and I'm doing everything that I can to go above and beyond the responsibilities of my role. But at the same time, I also set boundaries. You know, when I'm out of office, I have an out of office notice. You know, when it hits 5 p.m., you know, and unless there's specific days where I really have to do overtime or there's something that's really cooking for my team and we got to push it through. On those rare occasions, I set the boundary of once I'm out of office, I'm out of office. I need that time for my family. I need that time for myself. I need that time to recharge. So then when I come back to work, I can be the most effective that I can possibly be. Sometimes if you don't say things to people, will allow you to work as much as you want. So if you're working 65, 75, 85, 95, 100 hours a week, and you know, people are just going to keep throwing you work. And so you say, hey, you know, I didn't even get to take a lunch break today. I didn't get to eat today. I didn't get to get up from my desk. I've been on calls back to back. Like, I've been working, you know, all day. It's 11 p.m. I should be in bed right now, but I'm still working. If you don't call that out and say, hey, look, and set a boundary and say, look, you know, after 8 p.m., I'm done. Or after 6 p.m., that's my cutoff. Except for special circumstances, people will literally keep throwing you work until you set that boundary. So make sure that you set that boundary and stick to it. You know, be, you know, have a hard stop. You know, if you have to set a timer on your phone, one thing that I've seen people do is they'll set a reminder on their phone at a certain time. It reminds them to log off for the day. Hey, your day's done. You know, log off, you know, send your last couple emails, close out the few things that you need to and log off, you know, because one of my managers, he gave me a very, 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 very good, you know, outlook on life and work. And this is a quote that, you know, I now live by as well. He said that, you know, you should work to live, not live to work. And I'll say it one more time. You should work to live and not live to work. All right. Some people live to work. It's just like work is life and work should never become life. Work is a means, and it's great to love your job. I'm not trying to say you shouldn't love your job, but work should be a means to sustain your lifestyle. Work should be a means for you to bring in income so that you can have life experiences, go on vacation, spend time with your family, stay healthy, all these things. Work should be seen as a means to fund that. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't also love your job as well, because I think if you can find a job that you love doing and also sustain your lifestyle in the process, that's beautiful. And that's golden right there when it comes to career. But always make sure that you set that boundary of, you know, I am working to live and I'm working to sustain my lifestyle, but I'm not living to work. My work doesn't need to take over my lifestyle. So take your vacation time. Definitely take your vacation time. I made a video on this a couple weeks back on my YouTube channel, so you can go check it out. I'll link it down below. But what I talked about, taking vacation time even too, like a lot of people feel guilty about taking vacation, which is crazy. You know, you get vacation time, and I get it. A lot of companies have cultures where underlying, it's kind of like, you don't take vacation time. Don't do it. It's just like an unspoken rule of you just don't take vacation. That's not what you do. But if it's there, you're entitled to that vacation time. That is a benefit that you are given. That is something that is on your contract when you sign with that company to work, and you signed your employment papers and you took a salary and you took your vacation time. That vacation time is yours. And if a company is going to let you go, or they are not allowing you to use vacation time, it's really important for you to evaluate for yourself and ask, you know, is this company giving me the flexibility that I want and that I need as an individual and as a human? You know, because I think as great as work can be, getting swallowed up by work and not taking any time for yourself is a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for burnout. And eventually you're not even going to be able to perform at as high of a level at your job simply because you haven't had time to rest and reset. So keep that in mind. Always take time for yourself, take your vacation time, use your benefits, man. And then the third thing that I would say just about corporate, is understand that sometimes you're going to hit a ceiling, right? You're going to get to a certain position where you're going to see that maybe there's not as much growth going up as you wanted. And maybe your objective isn't to go up, but if your objective is to continue progressing over time, moving into higher level positions, sometimes you're going to have to hop companies. This happened pretty quickly for me. When I came out of college, I worked at a specific company for 6 months, a corporate employer for 6 months. And 6 months into the role, I kind of realized, I was like, you know, this is not where I want to be. It's not what I want to do. And honestly, there's not that much growth at this particular company. So one thing that you'll see a lot of people do in corporate is they'll hop companies. And I've seen this happen multiple times just in my 3 years in corporate. People will jump to another company. You know, for one, a lot of times what that will do is it's going to give you a higher salary. Sometimes you have a little bit more leeway and you're able to negotiate a bit more when you're going from company to company. As opposed to moving up internally. When you're moving up internally, sometimes they don't have as much of an incentive to compensate you appropriately simply because you've been there for a while. And there's just, it's just much easier to throw you a lower salary and say, hey, well, you know, you're moving up. And there's really not much visibility into why you're getting the salary you're getting, how it's directly correlated to your performance, anything like that. So sometimes what you have to do in order to get a more competitive salary, get a higher salary, is hop to another company, because then you're entering their system fresh and there's more of an incentive for them to, you know, one, give you a bonus, and two, on top of that, to compensate you appropriately for the work that you're going to be doing, especially if you're a talented young individual. And even if you've been, you know, in corporate for a while, I'm sure people can attest to what I'm saying. And then the fourth thing, and this is the last thing that I'll really touch on before we close out the podcast, but make sure that you're constantly improving your skills. Make sure that you are constantly looking for ways to improve, whether it's through certifications, whether it's through continuing education, whatever it may be. One really important thing to understand is, in being part of that pool of people, whether it's 100,000 people, 150,000, 200,000, and being that number, you really have to differentiate yourself from other people on your team, other people within your company, other people within your department. And it doesn't have to be a competitive thing or a cutthroat thing where you're like, oh, I got to be better than everybody on my team and I'm better than everyone and stuff like that. But definitely, if you want to have more eyes on you and you want to be considered more by leadership, more by management for different opportunities, you really have to differentiate yourself and make sure that you are putting your best foot forward, so to speak. And sometimes being more knowledgeable about the work that you're doing is going to give you that leg up that you need in order to go crazy, you know, in order to make moves, in order to move up, in order to better support your team, be more efficient in the tasks that you do. So investing in continuing education is super important. And more often than not, you'd be surprised. A lot of times companies will pay for you to get a lot of the trainings and things that you would need in order to be more effective in your position. A lot of companies pay for your training. A lot of companies will pay for you to go back to school for like a master's degree. That's something that I did and that I'm doing. I'm finishing up my MBA now. I'm totally paid for, 100% paid for, by my company. So look for those opportunities and be somebody who advocates for yourself. Look for trainings, look for continuing education opportunities, look for opportunities to, you know, take on more responsibility where appropriate, you know, not to the point where you're going to stress yourself out. But if you feel like, hey, I want to take on a stretch assignment, kind of show them, you know, what I'm able to do, show them my skills, showcase my skills and abilities, do it. The thing I'll end the podcast with is corporate is all about advocating. Right. It's all about being your own champion. And it's about having mentors and people that know you as well, that can also vouch for you and vouch for your ability. But at the end of the day, it comes down to you and where you want to go and where you want to take it. You know, so staying focused on that, just like anything else in life, whether you're running a business, whether you're in school, you always have to have a vision for the future. You always have to advocate for yourself, because if you don't, you're going to remain stagnant. And we don't want to remain stagnant. We always want to grow. Even if your goal is not making more money, maybe it's not moving up. Even if it's just staying in the role that you are, but just becoming an expert in that field, expert in that role, you have to advocate for yourself, and you have to look for new opportunities and ways to grow and expand your knowledge. So I will end that episode right there. But on Instagram and Twitter, let me know what your experiences have been with corporate. You know, if any of you have any additional tips that I didn't really touch on today when it comes to corporate, please let me know. I would be more than happy to read through those, listen to those, because I'm still learning myself. You know, like I said, 3 years in is not that much, but it's a substantial amount of time. You know, it's enough time to see what goes on. It's enough time to have an idea and understanding of you know, the corporate environment. So let me know your thoughts, and I will catch you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. It's been your host, Just Chris, with another episode of the Calm Podcast, and we will catch you next time. Peace.